This is Sky Blues Extra.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Sky Blues Extra podcast, which is kindly sponsored by Shortland Horn, Coventry's leading estate agents. My name's Tom Ward. I'm joined this evening by Dean.
Evening, chaps.
Evening, mate. And also joined by Dave.
Evening, lads.
Evening. The Sky Blues had a mixed week, starting with a disappointing defeat to Nottingham Forest on Tuesday, despite a good second half display, and then a 0-0 draw with Watford on Saturday. A game which the Sky Blues dominated but weren't able to carve out a victory. How are you both feeling after this week, chaps? I'll go to you first, Dean.
I was quite annoyed yesterday. I just feel like we've kind of let ourselves down this week a little bit. But I think on reflection, looking back, it's not all doom and gloom, is it? You know, we're still outside them relegation places. The one thing that is biting us on the arse now is the injury list. You look at that sort of squad depth and stuff like that. It's not as good as it should be, which is disappointing. But we're still in there. There's still, 18 games to go. We're still fighting. Like Kevin Keegan says, we're still fighting for this for this battle. We're still in with a shout. It's not all doom and gloom. We're just going to keep going. Just grind our way.
Yeah, exactly. It's one of those, isn't it, where, you know, yesterday was a weird one where we all said we'd have taken a point, but then when you play that well, you always come away a little bit disappointed that you didn't get more, and those extra 2 points are massive at the moment, aren't they? So, how are you feeling, Dave?
Yeah, I think very similar, to be honest. It's a bit of a shame because I think the performances have deserved more than what we've yielded from the two games. I think that's probably the frustration. But I think we've put in some good performances and just probably not picked up as many points as we should. But, you know, again, we always say once you look back at the end of the season, a draw at home to Watford with their millions and millions is a really, really good result. So I don't think you can be too downbeat. It's just we've got a tough run of games, and I think we've got to remember that. I think Mark Robbins has got to keep telling the lads that, you know, likely or possibly could be in the bottom three come, you know, 4 or 5 games time, which may or may not sort of be in your control. So I think we've just got to keep, you know, realizing there's a bigger picture to this month ahead, to be honest.
We've got to be prepared for that we might be in that bottom three, but hope that at least Cov Twitter doesn't go into complete and utter meltdown, which I imagine it probably
it's already started.
We'll see on that. Let's go and look at the Forest game in a bit more detail. Dave, what were the match stats?
Yeah, so we had 61% possession, which is just huge. 14 shots versus their 6, 36% accuracy with those. The percentage of possession was huge, which is a big shame when you look at the final score, obviously.
Call the cops, there's been a robbery.
Yeah, exactly. I'd be interested to know how much that possession was in the second half. I imagine quite a lot of it.
Yeah, we did seem to pepper them, didn't we, for big proportions of the game, and especially the second half.
Yeah, definitely. In terms of the team lineups, not massive changes, really. Obviously, Morosi was in for Wilson, which came as a little bit of a surprise. Obviously, we learned afterwards that he was ill with COVID, which is unfortunate. Obviously, we hope he's back as soon as possible because he's been doing really well for us. And then Pask sort of held his place at right back. Probably what we expected, really, Dean. Apart from obviously Morosi?
Yeah, obviously none of us expected Morosi to come back in because Ben, you know, it's really disappointing for him because he's shown real promise so far in place of Marco and a string of really, really good performances. I think it was only one goal in, 6 games he let in as well. That was a little disappointing. I don't think that change would have been made either had it not been for the self-isolation, to be honest. So that shows how well he's played to be ahead of the number one at the club. And like you say, Pass was at right back. We stuck with that back four system. I thought he did okay against Birmingham, to be honest, in the previous game in that same system. He made some decent interceptions and his positioning was good. And he's much better and way more comfortable in the back four than when he's at right wing back. So that was good to see him there. To be honest, I was quite surprised the likes of someone like Jamie Allen didn't start, though.
Jamie at Sheffield Wednesday,
And I look back at that previous Forest game and they really struggled with any pace, any men running off the ball, you know, getting in those small intricate triangles. They really struggled with that. And okay, people have said Jamie Allen probably hasn't shown enough quality this season, which to a certain extent is right, but he seems to have a good understanding with Hamer and O'Hare, and I thought them three could have caused them problems.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's very hard, though, isn't it, for Allen? Because he's just not getting the time on the pitch to be able to play himself into a position, even, is he, really?
Well, I think there's a good player there. I really do.
I do as well.
But I think that, like you say, Dave, he needs a string of games to build that confidence. And I think we'll benefit from that if we give him that opportunity to get a run in the side. He played, obviously, we'll talk about yesterday's game later on, but I thought he did well in stages yesterday. There was a few, obviously, lapses of concentration, especially towards the end, which nearly cost us dearly. But overall, I think he's done okay. There's only been one or two standout players in the whole team this season, to be honest.
Yeah.
So, you know, he needs that run of games for us to benefit from.
Yeah,
up
definitely.
At this level, though, you know, up at this level, it's so, so important to have a good touch. And Jamie Allen's probably one of the players that we have in our squad that's got that. I think you could probably make a case for some other players that perhaps don't. You know, sometimes their second touch is a tackle, Dean. But it's Allen has got that, hasn't he, in abundance. He's got a really good first touch and he's pacey with it.
I think the problem we've got as well is that he's doing a lot of running. Him and O'Hare, when they do play, there's a lot of closing down and pressing, because Max isn't going to do that when he's playing in as a lone striker. It kind of falls to Allen and O'Hare to do all the running. Now, if Godden was there, he does a lot of running. Or Walker was there, they would do a lot of running. So you might see a better Jamie Allen, a better O'Hare, if we had that them kind of guys leading the line too.
Yeah, and with the starting lineup, Dave, were you sort of happy with the four at the back, or I guess with hindsight and how we played second half, would you have preferred if we'd perhaps played the three? Because obviously Rose was actually fit and available, wasn't he, and Da Costa as well. So, or were you happy with the four at the back to start with?
Yeah, I mean, I think I was fairly happy. You know, one thing that's evident now is we're really scraping the bottom of that barrel. You know, under 23s lads that probably didn't have a prayer of getting anywhere near the pitch this season are perhaps now, you know, coming into the fold and having to really, really step up and earn their stripes. But I think I was more than happy with the way that Robin set up for this. And I suppose we're going to move on and talk about the game now. Mm. But it wasn't evident that he got anything wrong early on.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, no, it was a good.
And we settled in.
Yeah, exactly. It was a good start to the game, and obviously Bjarne fired us into the lead early on with a brilliant finish, and it was also another assist for O'Hare. Talk us through the goal, Dean.
Yeah, I think some credit's got to go to Ben Chief here as well. You know, he showed a bit of grit, determination and tenacity winning that ball back in the middle of the park. And let's take nothing away from Max here as well. He's worked that defender so well. Obviously an old Sky Blue flame in Cyrus Christie, so it was good to see him go down. But he carved out an opportunity with three or so Forest players ahead of him. And a great curled finish. At first, I thought the keeper might have done better, but on reflection, he's tucked it away absolutely superbly. Yeah. And I think the thing is with Max, he's got that quality, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Just doesn't show it enough to be classed as that top striker. And I think that's probably everyone's pet peeve about him, really. You know, there's no doubting his heart, his desire and effort in a Sky Blue shirt. But it's just we need to see more of that quality. And okay, he's on one leg at the moment due to his injury. But it was great to see him and a lovely celebration as well.
Yeah, definitely. Just goes to show you don't need to smash it in, do you? You just sort of curl it into the corner, sort of send it on its way. And, you know, you see quite a lot of those goals scored, don't you? Where they, you know, it's the accuracy, isn't it? More than the power.
Lovely finessed finish. I think
yeah, exactly.
Press the R1 button on the controller and just
finesse
it into the corner.
Lovely, yeah, lovely.
To see.
And unfortunately, not too long after that, probably 3 or 4 minutes later, we gave Forrest too much space down their left, our right, and pass got a bit done, really, to be honest. And as soon as it fell to Grabban, there was only really one place it was going, wasn't it, Dave?
Yeah, exactly. The thing is, you know, we can all sit here and point fingers at what's gone wrong with this goal. Pask has, I know, he's been decent. I think you, Dean, alluded to the fact that, you know, he looked really sharp when he came on. But yeah, he got this one awfully wrong. He was, you know, once the man was behind him and passed him, that was it. There was only one way that it was going, and it was going to go in the box. But I don't think we were close enough to any of their players. You know, once pass gets done, fine. You know, you hold your hands up as a right back. That's going to happen. That's what wingers do, take on players. And once that happened, we still were nowhere near our men, and we were playing catch up, and Grabham was alive and in the box and electric and ready to get onto it. But
do you think, Dave, is that an element of, because I watched it back today, and is there an element of that fear of giving away a penalty still creeping in? Because I watched it back, and even sort of McCallum was coming across, and he could have put a challenge in there, but a player's a bit like, I don't want to clatter someone and give away a penalty. Is that playing on their minds a bit? Because, like I say, everyone kind of stood off him, didn't they, really?
Yeah, we were just positionally just out, you know, we were just out of kilter positionally. Like, he managed to squeeze it between two players, that pass. And it wasn't, it was at pace, but it wasn't the best of crosses. It was just, you know, Grabham was running on. All momentum was in. He reacted first, basically, and we were caught on our heels. And like you say, nothing else that anyone else could do once it got there. It was always going to go in.
Yeah, exactly. A top striker like Grabham definitely doesn't miss from there. Rob has obviously made some changes at half-time, switched up the system, bringing on Rose and DaCosta. Obviously, we switched the three at the back. Were these the right changes for you, Dean?
Yeah, I think so, because as soon as they equalised, I think we looked deflated as a team, to be honest. It looked like it really affected us. You know, we sort of lost any ascendancy we had in that match. And it just got pretty flat. I don't know what you guys thought. Did you think the same?
Yeah, it did. It looked again, didn't it? Once they scored, it looked like no one wanted to lose the game again. It went to that sort of style of game where people were a bit scared to do anything.
Yeah, I felt like they got back into it quite early, didn't they? And I think if we could have held on a bit longer with our lead, maybe to half time, I think it would have been quite a different game, because they would have started getting a bit, you know, worried, and they'd have had to come at us a bit more. But it sort of did swing the game a bit, didn't it?
Yeah, definitely changed things. I definitely thought we were the team looking to cause issues. But you know, the changes, it's actually quite refreshing to see Robbins make that change so quickly. You know, we all complain, don't we, all too often about him leaving it too late in games. We've moaned about him doing it at halftime. I think there was a caller on the live who said he went too early. I kind of disagree with that. It needed something to change at that point.
I agree.
I think going back to the three with wing-backs was definitely the right choice. Forest were utilising their wings a lot more after they scored that goal, and we needed to counter that, as simple as that. And I think bringing in DaCosta was a very positive move. Obviously, he's a very forward-thinking player, and he was absolutely superb that second half. That was one of the best performances from a player in a Sky Blue shirt this season, for sure.
I think people were questioning Robbins, weren't they, on that signing. Obviously, all of his signings have been, you know, put under the microscope, and DaCosta just hasn't had enough time to show us either way. And there was some glimpses, I think, in the earlier games where he showed that he was a very, very strong and quick and was able to beat players, but didn't really, you know, set the world alight, I suppose, in the small little bits of, you know, minutes that he had. And then, of course, the FA Cup fixture was a write-off. I mean, we were completely not at the races. No one was. It was an awful game to be involved in. Definitely was an awful game to watch. And I think it didn't really give him a chance to show. But I think this really did show that Mark Robbins, yet again, has gone into the transfer market in Europe and picked up what I think is a bit of a gem.
Yeah, I'd completely agree with you. I think it just gave him that chance to sort of show what he's about, didn't it? Even the fact that we had to kind of go for it a bit second half, and we played everything down the right. It just gave him that perfect chance to show what he's about, and just countless balls in the box and decent balls as well. Like, the amount of times you see players who whip balls in that go too far or they don't beat the first man, he was hitting it low sometimes, and it was just crying out for someone to get on the end of it, wasn't it? So that was a really, really impressive performance by him.
Yeah, and hugely needed, because that's not, I think we were all a bit worried, weren't we, when Dabo had gone down, and it was thinking, well, what do we do now? We're short. Giles has gone back. No longer can we bring McCallum. I suppose, yes, we've got Pask, but it was, you know, I think it sighed a bit of relief, wasn't it? Knowing that we had a player like that ready to come in.
Yeah, and I guess it's kudos to Robbins for having decent options really as backup, because as much as we've had injury problems, you have to say that we've always had a player to come in that position, haven't we? We have got decent, relatively decent cover across the pitch.
I think people are too quick to write players off at this football club. You know, this is a guy who's come from France to a brand new country in the middle of a pandemic. He's got his family to think about. You know, confidence is going to be shot until he gets a run in the team. Now he can concentrate on his football. It seems like his family life has settled down a bit. He's now used to the country, used to the club. And we might start to see better performances from him. But I urge the fans just to get behind every single bloke in a sky blue shirt, never mind the type of performance they put in, because we just want them to do their best for the club. And sometimes I think we forget about the bigger picture and you know, outside influences, not just about the football.
Yeah, absolutely. And another player who has sort of had to work his way back into the team really is Michael Rose. He's obviously hardly played at all this season, really. And you could almost tell, really, with their goal, couldn't you, Dave? He just got completely caught out. Something that you probably wouldn't have seen him do if he'd, you know, had 5 or 10 games to go. So not even that, really. Maybe even started the game, but he just got caught a bit cold, really, didn't he?
Yeah, it was difficult. It was right at his midriff. He tried to get out of the way of it and couldn't do anything. I would question Morosi here, and I'd also question the chat. We talk about this time and time again, but if someone's bellowing keeper's ball there, comes and claims it, happy days. You know, we're not even having this conversation anymore, because the ball's in the keeper's arms and it's up the other end and we're attacking with Da Costa on the right again. So, but we're having this conversation because a ball's come in which was whipped with pace, but it wasn't the most dangerous of crosses. We had enough men back, but I think that once Morosi had left his line to sort of come for it, then decided not to, I think we were all at sea. And Rose, you know, sort of possibly saw it a bit late because it was whipped in and he couldn't get out of the way of it. But, you know, even if that had hit Rose like it did and Morosi was in the centre of his goal, I think he possibly could have, you know, got in the way, parried it or do something. But
do you think Rose was sort of anticipating Morosi coming for that then and got himself in a bit of a bad position?
He made a move. Morosi made a move.
Yeah.
He put him off 100%.
Yeah. And that's what, you know, as a defender, if you're going to attack the ball and you don't then because your goalkeeper's going for it, you know, we haven't got the you know, the ability to listen to the mics or hear what was done at pace. But it seemed to me, and like Dean said, Morosi's gone to claim it. For whatever reason, he's had second thoughts. He's dropped them back. But before he can get back, you know, Rose has tucked it away nicely. So it's, it is a few different errors in there. Yes, Rose was cold. He'd only just come on, really. He'd not played himself into the game enough. But I think there's got to be questions there about communication.
But again, that's indecisiveness and silly individual errors that have cost us big time in lots of games this season. I can think of 8 to 10 goals on the top of my head that, you know, silly individual mistakes and indecisiveness have cost us. Yeah. And I just hope when it comes to the end of the season, we don't look back and say, oh God, that extra point we could have got here, the extra point we could have got there, thanks to silly mistakes.
And after their goal, you know, we did create a lot. We did have a go second half, didn't we, really? As we mentioned earlier, you know, Da Costa was getting some great balls into the box, but we just sort of lacked that finish, really. Hamer had an effort over the bar on the volley. Matty James linked up really well as well, and he was unlucky not to score, Dean.
Yeah, and, you know, that Da Costa performance was a bit like watching Davert last year, wasn't it? You know, constantly beating his man, getting those balls into the box and not just helplessly crossing them in either. You know, they all went into dangerous positions or to a sky blue shirt. I mean, Hamer's two chances were pretty much gilt edge for a man of his quality, to be honest. Especially that one he put over the bar, he had so much time. But then Matty James, had a great opportunity. His first and second touches were absolutely brilliant and did everything right, but just that last chance challenge did enough, but we more than created enough to at least fashion an equaliser, never mind a potential winner, which is disappointing how many times we've said that this year.
Yeah, and you sort of got that sense really, Dave, didn't you, that it just wasn't going to be our night and that we weren't going to get that equaliser?
Yeah, I mean, look, we've not been the highest scorers in the league, have we, this season? And we've been struggling to put the ball in the back of the net. And that's it. But it's made even harder when you've got 11 men behind the ball. And even though at times it felt a bit end-to-end, it felt like we were just, you know, you're just up against a brick wall. And the more that you put those balls into the box and the more that someone just didn't quite get there, or like you say, one went over the bar, you just got the sense that it was going to play out and it was just going to be all, you know, not quite close enough. And that's, yeah, obviously what happened. But a shame, because we did, you know, we peppered their box, but it just wouldn't go in, would it? We were knocking the door. And I think that's why you can't be too disappointed. It's frustrating the way that we conceded. It's frustrating that we let them score an equaliser as easy as they did, especially after all the good work that we did. But, you know, actually, it's hard to be disappointed when you've battered a team for pretty much most of the game. You've just unfortunately not been able to do enough. And I think we've said this time and time this season, let's just hope that, you know, we can continue to try and grind out results, and it will all put us in good stead for when we kick off next year. But obviously a lot of work still to be done.
Yeah, absolutely. And in terms of man of the match, who's your star man, Dean?
Yeah, Max Bielma for me. I think he led the line really well. First class work rate as usual. Link-up play was great, took his goal brilliantly well, and he's doing this all on one foot with his injury problems. So, yeah, Max Bielma for me.
Dave?
Yeah, I'd have to agree. Excellent finish. And I think Max has added something to his game. He seems to be a lot more, I don't know, even looking back at the chances that he had in League One, and obviously they were far and few between because Matty Godden led the line for majority of the season. So, but I think he's really stepped up, and I can't, you know, no surprise that Robbins is thinking about typing out a new contract, because he has been, you know, especially in our hour of need, an absolute solid player, and I think he's added to his game. I think he looks top class up top, and he holds it up. Yeah, he's not got every single attribute's not perfect, and he's not the most delightful players to watch, but I think he's put in such a shift, and I think he's been we've been lucky, if you like, to have a player like that waiting in the wings with all these injuries.
Yeah. Robin sort of hinted, didn't he, on Saturday that a contract might be in the offing, which would be good to see, when he deserves it really for his service to the club.
Yeah, not just that. You know, no one wants to carry Deadwood. You know, we don't need it. We're a Championship club with ambitions to stay in this league and, you know, push on further next season. The signings that we've made, you know, Robbins has obviously got a great eye for this, and Chris Badlam for the transfer market in Europe and looking at places like Scotland and stuff now. But yeah, that doesn't mean that players who have been with us since League Two can't prove to Robbins that they're still, you know, able to secure a contract and put in shifts. And I think Max has improved his game. I think he's strong up there, his feet look better, and he's starting to score goals, which it's no easy thing to do in the Championship. A lot of strikers that are paid many, many more pounds a month, I would say, are not putting in the shifts that Max is week in, week out.
Yeah, I'd definitely agree with that, Dave. I'll just read out a few of our follower thoughts on man of the match. Obviously, after every game, we put out a tweet to ask you who your man of the match was. Louis Jones said Julian. Daniel Davenport said man of the match, Bielma. Man of the half, Da Costa. Steve Jones said Da Costa. Luke Godfrey said Bielma or Da Costa. Warren 18 said Da Costa. Paul Bonehill said Da Costa by a mile. Who else we got? Grant Hines said Da Costa in the second half. Dave Jones said Da Costa. So quite a few Da Costas there, lads. I think, you know, people were very impressed with his second half performance.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Them two were the standouts in that game.
If you had to sort of sum up your feelings on that one, Dave, how do you feel about that? Obviously, it was against a relegation rival. It was a disappointing result, but again, it's probably not the end of the world, is it? And that, like we've said, there's plenty more sort of chances to pick up points this season.
Yeah, no, exactly. Look, I'd have been a lot more frustrated, I think, if it had been one of those games that we just didn't take, you know, by the horns and have a good go. I don't think anyone can sit there and say we didn't have a good go. I think we took the game to Forest. Yes, sloppy mistakes, and we didn't get all 3 points, you know, didn't even get a point. But at the same time, at least it was a performance, I think, especially in the second half, for us to be quite proud of.
You're listening to Sky Blues Extra.
Now going to move on and talk about the Watford game. Sky Blues entertain Watford at St Andrews in the lunchtime kickoff on Saturday. Dave, what were the match stats for this one?
Yeah, so we had 48% possession, 14 shots versus their 13. And it was a real shame, really. I think we had a really good, played well. We battled with them, 15 tackles versus their 11, 74 duels won versus their 57. So, you know, we really took the game to a premiership outfit, really.
Yeah, definitely. And in terms of the lineups for this one, obviously we changed the system. We went with the lone striker. We started with Da Costa. So at the back, we were kind of similar to how we finished the Forest game. What did you think about the lineup, Dave?
Yeah, I think it was probably what a lot of people were expecting. And, you know, it worked well. It was great to see, obviously, Da Costa come in, because with all the good work he'd done on the game before, you were really excited to see that he'd be able to, you know, if he could do that against even better opposition. So happy with the lineup, and was glad to see, you know, Da Costa in there, following on from last game.
What did you make of it, Dean?
I think we were going to play with four at the back, and then we've watched Watford go down to QPR on Monday night and see how bad Watford are on the wing, and then revert it back to the wing backs, just because we'll get some chances out of that. But yeah, I mean, we're comfortable with that three at the back, aren't we? That's our system, shall we say?
Yeah.
It's just a shame we haven't got more options, really. Nice to see Allen back in the fold. O'Hare is comfortable in that advanced position as well. It was expected, shall we say.
Yeah. And when I saw Watford's team come out, I was a little bit worried at first. It's a really talented team, isn't it? And full of Premier League talent, as you alluded to earlier, Dean.
Yeah, it's quite laughable, really, isn't it? I mean, you look at across that team, Ismail Sarr, a £40 million player. Andre Gray's weekly wage is probably the same as our whole squad, to be honest. Premier League winner in Cleverley. I know João Pedro's in the top 100 players of the future. So he's a future star. He's well thought of. And that shows the golfing quality that we're up against in this division, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it's absolutely huge. And we're punching well above our weight, that's for sure. And I think fans forget about that.
Yeah, we really are, aren't we? You know, week in, week out. I mean, even the average teams in this league are spending a lot more money than us. I think even Derby's weekly average weekly wage is something like 20 grand. So, you know, we're definitely overachieving. I was really impressed with how we started this one, Dave. We looked right up for it, didn't we?
Yeah, exactly. And like you say there, look, multi-millions more than what we've got. But I think Mark Robbins, a testament to him, that he is continuing to play the football that he played that got us out of League One, which, let's be honest, isn't the type of football you'd be used to seeing in League One. And it just goes to show that we play teams off the park, and we're still continuing to do that in this league. It's just a shame, obviously, for some of the games, it's some of the individual errors. But yeah, we looked solid. We took the game to them. It was evident, you know, how the commentators were talking about Coventry City taking it to Watford, that Watford hadn't had a chance, hadn't had a sniff. We just looked really up for it. We were attacking, we were moving the ball really well. I think we looked really solid in the middle of the park as well. I think Matty James started the game in the way that he, you know, carried on and actually finished the game. But you could see that we could possibly get something from the game rather than, you'd be a bit worried seeing their team line up, like you say.
Yeah, exactly. You wouldn't have been able to tell what the league positions were, would you, from watching that, especially that sort of first half. Don Goodman wasn't particularly complimentary towards Watford, was he?
No, exactly. And it like you say, if you're a team that's got ambitions to be back in the Premier League, then I don't think that means we should take anything away from Coventry, because I think that they're just they're playing really, really good football, and the football is much more suited to this league, and we've said that time and time again, and the way we started again was a testament to that.
Yeah, definitely. Andre Gray did have an early effort, well, it possibly a cross, but was sort of dipping down into the goal, but Morrissey tipped over. They can be awkward, can't they, Dean?
Yes, it has shades of David Seaman and Ronaldinho, didn't it?
Yeah, it did.
In the World Cup. But I think it was going over, but I mean, good to make sure that it was. And we see it all too often in that kind of opportunity, don't we, where the keepers get caught out. So it was good to see Morrissey on his toes. And he started quite well, even though he's got the mask on. I'm pretty sure that's uncomfortable. But he
Luke's
started
quite,
maybe it is. Maybe it's opening his eyes a bit more. and he can see everywhere. But no, he's come back into the fold. And he's done well so far, other than that little misjudgment he made in the Forest game.
Yeah, absolutely. And we played a lovely move down the right. It started with Hamer, as it always seems to. Lovely ball out to Da Costa. And then it was Allen who actually lifted it back into Hamer. He probably could have done with it a bit lower, really, because he couldn't get much power on the header, could he, Dave? He could have done with one of those sort of volleys that he does.
Yeah, I'm not sure if he could have volleyed it, but yeah.
I think he had time. I think he could have took
it. Yeah,
a touch.
He did have a bit more time.
Yeah, I think he kind of just went with, you know, and he is one of those players that reacts to the situation and most of the time gets it spot on. So, you know, yeah, he went with his head and that was it. But it just goes to show that, yeah, Da Costa started the game as he finished the Forest game, and he was a real thorn in the side down on the right hand side for us. And yeah, like you say, Allen, great ball in, and Hamer, probably we would have expected him to do a little bit better, I suppose, by his own high standards. But yeah, maybe he could have took it on the volley.
Yeah, definitely. Something we should probably bring up on this pod is Watford and how kind of dirty they were, Dean. Don't know if you boys noticed it, but it seemed like every single challenge they had their elbows up, and even sort of off the ball, Deeney was like kicking people, and it was almost like he didn't realise it was on Sky and that every angle was covered.
Yeah, I mean, mate, don't start me off on officials again. I mean, I thought the referee was absolutely shocking. Andre Gray, you know, he's lucky he only got a yellow card for that foot up challenge, to be honest.
Yeah, bad one that.
Yeah, really bad. Deeney, like you said, he was throwing his arms around like a petulant child, especially when he's going for a challenge.
Was it Francisco Serolta that was just the, you know, the number one villain? You know, if anyone should have been wearing a mask, the guy with the ponytail.
Yeah, I mean, there was across the board though. I mean, cleverly got a few nasty challenges in. You know, I think he knocked Hamer over in the middle of the park and looked at him angrily as if he, why are you on the floor? Like, yeah. I didn't touch you. It's nonsense. But Deeney was a big culprit. I mean, he was obviously getting frustrated, wasn't he? You know, Ostergaard absolutely bullied him all game. I mean, Leo's probably sitting down for his Sunday lunch now. He's thinking, oh, what's that in my back pocket? Oh, it's Troy Deeney. you can't sit down properly. But I mean, you look at the bigger picture, the officiating has been absolutely shocking all season. I mean, let's talk the penalty miss on Da Costa. That's a stonewall penalty. Mm-hmm. Defender completely takes him out at pace, not even playing for the ball. I mean, anywhere else on the pitch, if that happens, it's a free kick. And that showed, like, 10 minutes later, O'Hare was penalised for the exact same thing by the corner flag. I'm just getting really annoyed by it all now. I mean, the standard of officiating, it wouldn't be out of place in the
it's
Sunday
so disruptive to our game as well, Dean. And sometimes I think Shipley had one right at the end of the game, actually. And I thought, you know what? Good for you. It was on halfway and he just kicked him. And I thought, yeah, you know what? Good. I'm glad you done that, because it felt like the right time to do it. And, you know, I'm not one that likes to sit there cheering on someone, bringing someone down on the halfway line. But you think, well, if they can mix it, then take it. And I think, you know, we've got to do that a bit more. And every team, especially these ones like Watford and your Bournemouth, seem to do that, don't they? The reason that you can't play against these teams sometimes is that they're just bringing you down on the halfway and stopping any sort of momentum.
It's absolute nonsense. I mean, for me, it's about time officials have to come out and explain reasoning behind decisions they make, or at least, you know, release the match reports. I mean, that won't happen, of course, because the FA give them too much protection. And it's not just us. I mean, I watch a lot of football.
I mean, Suchet yesterday, Dean.
I'm literally just about to say.
Yeah, I mean, that one's abysmal.
It's an absolute nonsense decision. There's no decision that needs to be made there. Why is he even going to look at the monitor? That's two people have got that completely wrong. And I'm, for one, quite glad VAR isn't in the championship, because it would just annoy the hell out of us. More than it gets on people's nerves more than, you know, they get the decisions right.
Yeah. The problem is, for me as well, is that, you know, it's all very well having VAR when people are watching it on TV, but it would actually ruin the game when you're there live, because it would get to a point where you won't celebrate a goal because you'll just wait for the VAR decision. That's the final decision. And they check every goal now, don't they? They look back at, like, you know, offsides. They look at, you know, things that happened a minute or 2 minutes before the goal went in. So,
yeah, like how far do you go back with that, though?
Well, I mean, that's the thing, isn't it?
Do you go to the kickoff? Was the kickoff in the right direction, etc.? You know, it's farcical. I mean, may have my tinfoil hat on here, but you know, well, our officials making these mistakes on purpose, so, you know, it gets rid of the system. You know, is that a possibility?
I just don't think they're very good standard. I think the standards have slipped, to be honest.
I think the championship standard's been dreadful.
Poor. And it's not just dreadful. Us, like you say, it's not just us saying it. If you follow any of the championship pages and podcasts and ones like that, they're obviously very kind of independent and you know, not really biased or whatever, they all say the same, you know, that the standard's been poor across the board in the championship. And I actually think the refs were better in League One, to be honest, and even League Two.
And that's saying something.
Yeah, it's not good. But anyway, let's move on. We had another move down the right. It was Da Costa again that put a great ball in to Bayamu, and Bayamu sort of headed it into the ground and it went wide. Felt like he possibly could have done a bit better there, Dave. And if he got that on target, it probably would have gone in, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Hands up for anyone that celebrated.
Yeah, I celebrated. Not gonna lie.
Literally, I saw the net sort of bulge. I thought it must have hit the stanchion behind, didn't it, and rustled the net. But he's got to probably do better with those. And he did everything kind of right, really. Headed it down again. Could he have gone with his feet? It was you know, actually Michael Rosemary put it in if it was him, because it was a very similar height. And he kind of went with his head, didn't he? And he's ducked down and it bounced off the ground. If it was on target, the keeper would have had no chance, absolutely no chance. But really good movement. And I think that's one thing that we've not really spoke about, is that in the last couple of fixtures, Max's movement has been absolutely superb. He's been leading that line. And, you know, that's not an easy thing to do against Watford, you know, the amount of millions that they've got in defence. And I think Max played him a merry dance for a long, long periods of the game, and he was just really unlucky not to get it on target.
Yeah, he was indeed. And then Haim had a great chance, possibly a city, you could even call it, Dean, at the back post.
I think Haim had two good opportunities, to be honest. I mean, the first one is probably the one you referred to, but I'm going to let him off a little bit with this one. I don't really think he expects it to come through to him after the
flick-on.
Came
out of nowhere, didn't it?
Yeah, so it's quite quick. The reaction had to be spot on. But the second one, I can't really say. Yeah, again, from the free kick, I can't really say anything other than he's got to score. I mean, he rises brilliantly between both defenders there.
Straight at the keeper, yeah.
And if it goes anywhere other than down the keeper's throat, then we're sitting here grinning like Cheshire Cats, to be honest.
I think he struggled to get a pace on it, though, didn't he? That, like, it was sort of quite glancing. He struggled to get enough pace. I worry if even if it was, the keeper would still save it. But whereas with the first one, all of the men, you know, the ball that was whipped so, you know, so hard that it was, he only had to get the right touch on it, didn't he? He only had to get a touch on it on target. And I think, again, a bit like Biaru's, it would have been really difficult for the keeper. But a glorious, glorious chance, really. And I think, yeah, you're right, Dean. Two good chances, and Haim's probably kicking himself.
Da Costa went down a bit worryingly, looked like concussion at first, but I think we've since learned that it's actually a migraine, so he should be absolutely fine. But it was unfortunate, really, in the game, because obviously then it meant we had to bring on Pask, which I think Pask had a good game, but it felt like we kind of lost something in terms of going forward on the right. But I do think Pask had a very good game defensively, Dave.
Yeah, and look, it's one of those. He obviously isn't as comfortable going forward as Dabo and as clearly as Da Costa as well. So, yeah, absolutely spot on. We did lose that sort of out ball that Da Costa gave us. But, yeah, you've got to go back to basics and say, you know, Pask is doing a good job. it's very difficult, isn't it, to make a step up from where he is in his career and the amount of professional football that he's been exposed to. And at the moment, you know, he's sitting in, he's standing up Premiership, Premiership worthy players. It's not a difficult task. And I think in majority of the games, he's looked solid and enough. I just think that he's probably... One thing with Pass for me is that I think he's a little bit... He sometimes, whether it's a confidence thing or he sort of hedges his bets, but sometimes he's at a halfway house. He's neither on their touch or dropped back enough to stand a player up. And I think that's what we saw at Forest and saw that a few times where he looks to be just a little bit out of position. At times, things look like they're just happening a little bit... mentally, I would say, in terms of positions, where he is positionally, it all seems to happen a little bit too quick for him. And I think that's probably him getting himself into positions that are, not as correct as perhaps a player that's been playing at this standard for a long, long time. But that will come. But I think, he'll only learn, unfortunately, the hard way by being out of position. But I think that's the only thing with Pask. I think when he's coming onto the ball, and when he's, 50-50s, he reads them really well. And I just think sometimes positionally but he's got a bit to learn, but that will come. You know, he's a young player and he's up against some of the best wingers in the country.
Mm. Yeah, completely agree. I think he did put in some good tackles at time and he kind of frustrated them a little bit, didn't he, down the sort of their left?
Yeah, exactly. But like you say, agree, we did lose that attacking prowess.
Yeah,
down,
attacking wise. Yeah. Side. And, Watford did sort of pile on the pressure late on, which was inevitable, really, I suppose. We opted to bring off O'Hare and Hamer and bring on Gokeres and Shipley. What did you think of this, Dean? Was this a sign of kind of sitting in for a point to an extent, Dean?
Yeah, a little bit. And to be honest, I can't really blame Robbins. I thought him and O'Hare were pretty much completely zapped of all energy. You could see errors starting to creep in from both of them. And that's just a case of having played four games in 11 days.
Yeah, a bit of tiredness, yeah. Understandable.
It was the right call, but tough, because obviously they're our most influential and attacking threats. Problem is, our bench is lacking in any real quality or that game changer who can make a difference, especially when you're looking to get that winner. But it probably did probably have one eye on Watford, were slowly creeping back in and needed to get some bigger guys onto the pitch.
Yeah, definitely. And there were a couple of heart in mouth moments at the end. Obviously, Deeney hit the bar. Everyone seemed to sort of leave it. But if we're being honest, it would have been absolute daylight robbery if they'd left St Andrews with 3 points, wouldn't it, Dave?
Yeah, it would have been. And look, I don't think anyone's going to expect Watford coming to town not having any chances. And
yeah, of course.
It goes to show you just what a fantastic performance the Sky Blues put in to limit them to what we're talking about, two or three chances at the end of 90 minutes. So to be able to limit a team of that much quality, I don't care if people say, they weren't at their best or they weren't on their game. They obviously weren't great against QPR from what we understand, but they weren't poor. I just think we outplayed them. We outmuscled them. We were quicker to the ball. We wanted it more. And unfortunately, just a few lacking in a little bit of quality. And again, we say this time and time again, but that is probably because of where we are. We haven't got a 15, 20 goals a year striker and we haven't put the ball in the back of the net. But you're not going to have a game of 90 minutes against Premiership quality team and not have a few heart in mouth moments. But
I think they were poor though, Dave. I mean, especially first half, I thought they were a really, really poor side. They gave the ball away a lot. You know, for a team of that much quality and a team that's supposed to be pushing for automatics, I just think they weren't great. And they, by all accounts, it's been a similar story away from home all season for them.
I think they've been poor all year, to be honest.
Yeah.
But I think we frustrated them as well. And that's the thing. Yeah. Teams like that want to come to places and have it all their own way. And if that doesn't quite seem to be happening, they are in a game where they were going to have to work for it. And I'm not sure they look like a team that want to work for it. They have a lot of, brilliant individuals, but they don't, to me, look like a team that are willing to go through the brick wall for the manager and for the team. And that will really hinder them, I think.
They're already calling for his head, the manager.
You could see it, can't you? Because they looked void of any sort of passion for me. They just looked second best to a team that are at the bottom of the league. There's no excuse for work rate is there, and I don't think they had that there. Whereas we talked about the great start that we made from the first whistle to the final one. Matty James, you know, led the line as a captain, and everyone else followed suit. And you know, we're trying to be first to the ball. We're trying to win tackles. We're going up for headers. They seem to be second best all over the park, and I think I think they'll struggle this season, you know, to get where they want to get by playing like that.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. I think you hinted at it there, Dave, but who was your man of the match?
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be Matty James, isn't it? He, I hope, is going to be in a Coventry City shirt for a long time. He looks like just an absolute, you know, superb player, both defensively. His reading of the game is like, you know, it's
top
like
notch.
It's like he's in the Matrix. He knows what's happening before it's even going to happen. And he has got us out of quite a few sticky situations already, and it's probably gone unnoticed because they've not gone on to be chances. But he's, you know, he's breaking up play, he's blocking things, he's making things happen go. I mean the stats also, you know, they speak for themselves really. He was all over the place. 82% pass accuracy, 5 interceptions, 4 clearances, even blocked a shot. And you know, his who scored rating was 7.33. So it was an absolute magnificent performance from Matty James.
Nice, Dave. Backed up with some stats as well. Can't argue with that. Dean, what did you think?
Yeah, I don't have any stats. But
doesn't count with me.
I'll leave it there. No, a real captain's performance, wasn't it, Matty James? I mean, he was everywhere, and that's absolutely masterstroke getting him in the door. And I just pray to God that we can keep him long term.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, isn't it? There was a poll on Twitter that someone put out saying, who would you rather keep, Ostergaard or James? And not necessarily going to be that we have to pick between the two, but it sparked up quite an interesting debate, didn't it, around sort of, you know, the fact that Ostergaard's a younger player and he's got more sell-on value, because, you know, I guess the ethos of the club is always, what's the sell-on value of a player? And obviously, I think Matty James is, what, 29, nearly 30? So he's not, you know, he's not getting any younger. But, you know, if we get 2 or 3 years out of him, then I think he'd be definitely worth a shot, I think.
Yeah, we need to consolidate our position in the Championship, and the likes of him could help us do that.
Who do you replace him with, Dean? You know, when you think about
Kelly
going
will be
out
back
to
in
the
money,
market,
but...
when you think about going out to the market, yeah, and I said this, look, Kelly's magnificent player, but I think Matty James has everything that Kelly has and probably does it just that little bit better, I think.
Yeah.
And he really does. And I think when you look at where we are in financial, I think we're going to struggle to get anywhere near what he is. You know,
I agree with you, mate.
Went back into the market, and I think we should be doing everything that we can. Sadly, though, like you said, with that poll, if that was the decision that Mark Robbins had to make, it would be a very, very tough one, because, again, we've not really got, I don't think, anyone that looks like they can replace Fads as a central defensive sort of sweeper. And I think Ostergaard did that fantastically. I mean, he won absolutely every header in that final third for Watford, and I think he looked like a real superb asset at sort of that sweeper system. And I think he showed that he was probably more comfortable there, really.
I don't think that is a hard decision to choose between the two. I think it's Matty James 100%. If we get 3 years out of a Matty James and we stay in the Championship, that's probably worth nigh on £150 million. Okay, we buy Ostergaard and sell him for, what, £15 million potentially?
Yeah.
There's no question.
I agree with you, Dean. I was of that way of thinking as well, because I think it's probably easier to find a centre-half in that position, you know, and, you know, there's even players...
We have a really good one in the youth team, by the way. Jordan Thompson is going to be a star.
Yeah, Thompson, this Drysdale, you know, there's players who could, I mean, like, you look at people like Michael Rose, you know, and Hoyam, and our defensive players actually really have been like youth players, like, you know, younger players we've brought in and developed, or, youth players or whatever, and over the years as well, when you think about people like Jordan Willis and players like that. Whereas I think to have someone like Matty James, I think they are really hard to come across. And the fact that we're possibly right place at the right time, in that he's out of contract to Leicester, is probably a big sort of turning point in his career, really. He'll be thinking about the fact he's nearly 30 and wants to play as much football as possible. You know, we've heard that his family possibly live in the Midlands, and that's why he was keen to move down from Barnsley. So there's probably a few things going in our favour, and it's probably a great chance to sign someone like him. And for me, it's all about establishing ourselves in the Championship. You know, if we want to stay in this division for more than, you know, a season or two, then we need players like him. And if it's him and then we've got Kelly as a backup, then fantastic. Like that's how we strengthen as a, not just a team, but as a squad.
No, 100%. And he led the line like a captain as well. And he seems to make players, you know, good players, don't get me wrong, individually they play brilliantly, and he stopped crosses, and we've seen there he made passes and his completion rate was fantastic. But I also think about the impact that he's had on Hamer's game since he's been in the middle of the park, and also Sheaf, who, you know, I think Sheaf's played so much better by having Matty James alongside him. And I think he gives the others the ability to go out and express themselves and links up play with them that much better. And I think he's you know, we should do everything we can to keep him at the Sky Blues.
Yeah. And in terms of our followers, they all pretty much unanimously agree that Matty James was man of the match. I'll just read a few of these out. Spud went Matty James. Mike Smith said Matty James by a mile. Also a special mention for Ostergaard. James Hone said Matty James by a mile. Chris McGrath said Matty James. Graz said Sky got it right for once. James. Nigel Green said Matty James and Max Biamu equally. Harry Chataway said Matty James, class act once again. Chicago Phil said Matty James seemed to be everywhere today. Every time they got a cross or a shot, it seemed to be his block or clearance. And George went for Biamu. He said, for me, it's Biamu. Great work rate, held up play well and caused Watford a lot of problems. So, yeah, general consensus from our followers that Matty James was the man of the match. So just thinking about generally overall, lads, how do we feel about a point with that one? I think, you know, it could have been more, but it's not the worst result in the world, is it?
No, I mean, it's a good point, obviously, against a potential promotion chasing Watford team. But on the grand scheme of things, when you look at how the other results have gone now, it's disappointing not to have all three in the bank, which I think we thoroughly deserved. I mean, it's tightened up there, it really has. And we'll perhaps start to look over our shoulder a little bit, but look at the bigger picture. I mean, 3 points for us next week, and we're back within that pack of eight teams, you know, who are battling for what seems to be two positions. It's nerve-wracking, and it's going to be a challenge, but let's embrace it.
Yeah, definitely. I think it was a bit weird sort of having the early kickoff on Saturday, because it then meant, well, I don't know about you boys, but I was kind of glued to my phone watching the other results come in and got a bit kind of obsessed with it, possibly even cursed it by tweeting saying I was praying for the other results. But yeah, you do end up sort of looking over those other results, Dave, don't you, when really you just want to be, I guess, focusing on your own.
Yeah, exactly. But that is the position, look, not by anyone's fault, I don't think, but that is the position we've put ourselves in. We've had a lot of fixtures this season where we probably couldn't put them to bed. And arguments to say that we probably could have put this game to bed. And we definitely, if you had to look at the highlights, you'd look at the chances that were created. And like you say, some were sitters. We didn't, you know, for whatever reason, didn't put the ball in the back of the net. That's been the story of the season so far, and I think we'll be ruining that, because we're definitely going to be dragged further and further into this relegation battle, and it's not something we expected to not be in at the start of the season. But I think we'll probably be cursing ourselves a little bit, having to now look out for what other teams are doing, because that's no fun at all, is it, when you're trying to just enjoy the football and watch, you know, having to look over your shoulder all the time, and teams are starting to pick up points. And this is what we've said, you know, the games like Birmingham, they're the games that we really needed to go all out for and get the points, because there are so many freak results in this league.
You're listening to Sky Blues Extra.
The Sky Blues travel to Cardiff in the CCFC Derby next Saturday. Cardiff currently sit in 16th, although they do play Rotherham midweek. Slightly strange one, because I guess we'll be sort of hoping they get a result there, really. I'm going to make my weekly statement, lads, and say that this is a massive game for the Sky Blues.
No.
What are your thoughts, Dave?
Yeah, I mean, every game is massive, isn't it?
It's we could just record this bit and just play it for each pod, couldn't we?
Yeah, and it's just, it's one of those that, look, we've got to really show, we've got to turn up again and show that we, you know, we want to be in this league, and that we're not going to go down without a fight. And they're teams that we can turn over. So, yeah, huge game. And I'm sure, you know, the lads all know that. And it's good to see that they've got a bit of a rest as well before that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that week will definitely do us some good and hopefully get a few people back towards fitness. Cardiff have been a strange side this season. They've been very, very inconsistent. After we beat them in November, they went on a really long winning streak, but have since found themselves in dreadful form and have been sort of plummeting down the league. I suppose this makes it quite a hard one to predict, Dean. So, yeah, give us a bit of the lowdown on Cardiff.
Yeah, I don't know about you two, but I thought Cardiff were probably one of the worst sides we've faced this year. They showed no quality in that game. I mean, Giles and Walker ran them absolutely ragged that night. And since those since that win streak, they've been on a real barren run. I think it's one win since the middle of December and before yesterday's victory at Bristol City. I mean, that result tells you everything you need to know about this division, doesn't it? The form book goes completely out the window. They've had a change of manager. Mick McCarthy's now in there to try and steer them away from the relegation zone. And make no mistake about it, they are a team well in the mix at the bottom of the table. There's a real chance Cardiff could slip out of this division. And we've got to go there with positive intent, like Dave said, and show that we deserve to be one of the teams staying up. They've had a couple of incoming since our last meeting. They spent £1 million on Max Waters from Crawley, who's banged them in at League Two this year. I think he scored 13 goals before he made the move. And look, there's a difference again. £1 million spent on a player in January. You know, we just don't have them assets to match that. And they also brought in Johnny Williams as well, one of the stars of the Sunderland Netflix documentary.
Yeah.
Played at Charlton for a bit, didn't he, as well?
He did, but guess what? Johnny Williams is injured again. He's only been there a week.
For him, haven't you, really?
Yeah, he's picked up another training injury. They've also got concerns over Kiefer Moore, and their keeper, Alex Smithies, went off yesterday after 9 minutes with some kind of mystery illness. He didn't look well
presumably
at all.
Presumably that wasn't tactical.
No, obviously not. But very strange one. They're unsure on what that was at the moment from reports. So, an interesting one there.
Strange. Maybe he had a dodgy curry the night before.
Did you cook him one, or probably one of your prawn booners? Was it?
Yeah, possibly. Maybe that was it. How do we think Robbins is going to set up for this one, Dave?
It's a tough one, isn't it? I think I'm just trying to go through who's not injured, actually. I'm trying to think of who we can actually line up with.
Not many, mate. Not many left after you take them out, but yeah.
It's a difficult one. I'm not sure if he'll go back to the sort of, with a week's rest, I can probably see him going back to that two up top with Biamu and Jokeres, perhaps.
Well, but three at the back still.
With O'Hare on that as that three, you know, where they sort of flip-flopped, didn't they? So O'Hare was probably sitting behind, but most of the time he was leading the line, and Max and Jokeres were playing as wide right and left at times. So, yeah, maybe he'll do that.
What do you reckon, Dean?
Yeah, he won't alter too much from the team that ended the game, I would imagine, versus Watford. Obviously, Hamer and O'Hare will definitely play after a week's rest. But if you remember, we changed the team completely for that Cardiff game, putting Giles further up the pitch, and I think we just come off a loss, didn't we? So I don't think he'll change with tradition too much. I'm like Dave. I think he'll play a two up top, but I think it's just what we lack is pace. You know, pace. That's one thing that we lack. You know, that was the secret to the success in that game. Walker was making brilliant runs. Giles was just running at them. So hopefully Da Costa's okay, because he'll offer some pace on that right-hand side, but it's vital we use him. I mean, look how many times yesterday he was in acres of space and we never really used him to his full extent.
Yeah, it was that one that was screaming out for, was it Hamer, I think, or Allen to shift it out right, wasn't it? And
yeah, so we just need to utilise him a lot more in this game, and I think we'll get a good return out of it.
Yeah, hopefully. And fingers crossed, Walker won't be too far away from fitness as well. You know, I don't know what the latest is, but you'd like to think that he possibly could be on the bench on Saturday.
Well, the latest was he was running and he trained well on Friday, and Robin said he pushed him on Friday quite a bit. So
another week in him as well.
Yeah, hopefully there's not too much fallout from a hard session last Friday. He also trained on the day of the game as well. So fingers crossed he might be back into the fold. It'll be too early to go back into the straight into the team, but at least a substitute appearance potentially. But hopefully we just don't rush him back, because look what happened with Godden. We rushed him back, and now he's pretty much out for the season. So, you know, if we don't have to use him, hopefully we're 2-0, 3-0 up comfortably, and we don't have to rely on him to come on and change the game. That'd be the ideal situation.
Dream on, Dino.
Yeah, dream on.
And I'll grab a score prediction from you both. Dave?
Yeah, I mean, I've been looking at Cardiff in, you know, and they've been plummeting. But one thing that does worry me is how many goals they've scored from set pieces. 46% of their goals this year, 16 have come from set pieces. And sometimes our defensive from set piece, you know, leaves a little bit to be desired, I think. So that's a bit of a concern. And I think, you know, Mark Robbins has got to get the lads completely switched on for this one, because they are a team that have scored, you know, most of their goals from set pieces. It's going to be tight. We say that every week. We know it's going to be. But I think it's probably going to be even Stevens at 1-1.
Where are you putting all these stats from, Dave?
Just, you know, I'm like
it's been a slow day, has it?
I'm like Rain Man, mate.
Stat-o.
Yeah. That's good though, mate. Dean, what do you reckon?
Yeah, I think we'll win, to be honest. I don't think we should be too scared of this Cardiff team, and we just got to go out with good application and good intent, and I think we'll win comfortably. So I'm going to go for a 2-0 victory.
Yeah, and we'd definitely take that. That'll be very welcomed. Thanks a lot for your contributions, as always, chaps. That's all we've got time for. Listeners, don't forget to check out our partner Shortland Horn on their Instagram and Facebook pages. They've got some cracking properties across Coventry, so do have a look at those. Also, make sure you join us live at full time on Saturday for all the reaction to the key moments. You can also join us live in the studio, and the links you'll need will be posted at half time, so look out for those. And as always, you can get involved in the conversation on our social media channels. Just make sure you use the hashtag SkyBluesExtraPodcast.
Thanks for listening to the Sky Blues Extra Podcast.